Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time to chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest, where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Welcome along, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, here to take you through the MLB action, what's happened this week, what's going to happen this weekend. We'll make some picks and give you some pointers. And to help me along that journey tonight, as always, from Houston, Texas, is Munaf Manji. Munaf, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, sir. So should I just say good night to you? I know it's later for you. You're about, 5 hours ahead on Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, we're getting on the on towards the cusp of midnight, but yeah. I've been out working tonight. I'm the poacher when I'm in this situation. But then earlier tonight I turned gamekeeper because I've been running the blackjack table. So yeah. I like to keep myself on both sides of the line, Moon. I've keep my options open. Dealing blackjack at a wedding. I mean, that's real degen stuff there, isn't it?
Oh, you gotta love it. You know, you got a wedding, but hey, once you say I do, be like, hey, wife, I'm taking a break. I'm going to hit the blackjack table. So that's pretty awesome. Malcolm, a man that wears many hats. So appreciate you. You know, I know it's late there, but, you know, we're going to keep on pounding out this content for our listeners.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I'm catching up with stuff that's been happening tonight as I go along. So there's been some games tonight already, and the Blue Jays have beaten the Yankees in a doubleheader. We're going to talk about the Yankees in a little while. And actually, we're going to talk about the young lad who's pitched for Toronto as well tonight. There's been quite a few close games, quite a low scoring early slate. A lot of 5-2s and 5-3s, 3-2s, things like that. So not many runs about tonight, getting into the evening's games. But we'll start where we usually do, which is by unpacking what we picked last weekend. So the Sunday night recording, we always take a lock and a dog each. And we went better this week. We've kind of been a little bit unlucky, we think. The process of being okay without necessarily the results. We've had starting pitchers who've gone deep into games and then had the bullpen blow up on them. And this week, between the two of us, we've managed to go 3-4, Munaf. So talk me through your two picks and how you got on. Because actually, your second one was possibly a little bit unlucky. You could weasel your way out of that if you tried really hard, because the starting matchup changed pre-game.
Yeah, and those are kind of unlucky now, right? So Yeah, you know, I hit, we'll start with the lock. I think, you know, the original matchup was Flaherty versus Giolito. No, it was Flaherty versus...
It was Rodon. It was meant to be Rodon.
Yeah, Rodon and Flaherty. I took the under in that game. And then the matchup got changed to Rodon got replaced by Lucas Giolito. And that kind of blew up in my face because I took the under in that game and I ended up, 7-2 through, I think, three or four innings. I think by the fourth or fifth inning, it was like the over had already cashed. So a bit of a bad luck there, but, you know, we came back. I believe it was yesterday, John Gant against Carlos Rodon, you know, the pitching matchup changed. So it still took Gant. I believe it closed at I think it was around +165, +170.
Yeah, that was a big price, Mooner.
Yeah, and the funny part about this game was Rodon pitched, like, if you look at the stats and, like, the box score, it's almost that Rodon pitched a better game than Gant. He just Gant threw a shutout game in five innings. He gave up five hits, no runs. But Carlos Rodon through six innings only gave up one hit, but that one hit was a home run. And, you know, and then they tacked on three more after that in the late innings. And, but you got to give credit to the Cardinals pitchers there. They shut out this White Sox offense. So that was, you know, something exciting to see. So between those two, you know, we came up a little bit. You know, it's always good to hit a dog because it sometimes covers for your losses on if you take a lock, which is around a 125, 130, 135. In this case, I was able to catch the +170 dog. So, you know, 1-1 with a little bit of profit it doesn't kill anybody, but you, sir, you had a perfect week. I knew you were going to turn around sooner or later and you did this week.
Yeah, I did okay. And it all kind of went to plan. I know with any amount of baseball bets, you do need that slice of luck. Like you saying that you got with your John Gant selection. So my lock was only last night, actually, Wednesday night game. And it was Smiley versus Pivetta, Braves and the Sox. And we talked on the pod last week that maybe it would be, I thought maybe 8.5, 9. You thought it was 9.5. I think it actually got up to 10. Because I see you maybe tipped this up, Moonaf, either on Twitter or in the Slack channel. You were quite sweet on this.
Yeah, in the Slack channel. And the pitching matchup was correct. You know, and it was just a two-game series between these two teams. And I was kind of looking at both of these guys' numbers the night before. And if I get time at night, I like doing that. And I thought that our number when we talked about on the pod was a little conservative. So I thought it would probably come around 9.5, maybe a 10. And I mentioned this in the Slack channel that, you know, if it did come out 10, and I was like, you know, go ahead and jump on that because by the time this number might move to 10.5 by the morning, and it did, it moved to 10.5. But at that point, it didn't matter. You know, they took care of business. You want to go and talk us through that? I know there was a rain delay. I was keeping my eye on the score, but I was hoping that they wouldn't suspend the game or just call it because then our bets wouldn't have cashed.
Yeah, the game finished 9-5, so it came in relatively bloodlessly. And it was one of those games where the runs came at regular intervals. Often you might get a high scoring game where you might get a 6-run half inning or something like that. Yeah. That never really happened. There was one or two runs were getting tagged along on every inning. So it was over by the fifth or sixth kind of thing. So I was delighted with that. It's been a long time coming to land my lock and my dog. My dog again did well. John Means is someone who we followed. You've been particularly sweet on him. Mm. You tipped him up when he had his no-hitter a few weeks ago.
Yep.
But my thinking was it was just really the better team. And Minnesota had shown a few signs of life. They were in that extra innings game on Sunday night when we were talking, and they got the win. Karinchak gave up three runs, which he hasn't done all season. And Minnesota got their first extra innings win, so it eventually landed in a black number where we've been chasing the Reds for the last few weeks. But they'd been shown a few signs of life, had Minnesota. Yeah. And Shoemaker did well. He was 3-1 up through seven. Which shows that the process was kind of right, and they broke it open late on and won that 8-3.
Yep.
So between us, we went 3-4. We can excuse you yours because of the pitching change. So we'll let you off there. Our tally site picks, if you go to tallysite.com or look on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com and embedded on the MLB tab are our tally side picks. I've managed to get to 23 and 20 for the week. I seem to be stuck on this number. It's either 53, 54, 55% every week. However, there's a little caveat here because after Tuesday night, I was 7 and 15. So I've made a right old comeback. So I think I've gone 18 and 5 since then. I've had to screw my head on because I couldn't sit here or in good faith with a 7 and 15 record moving off. So I thought before I pulled these headphones on, I was going to have to get back into the fancy numbers. So I've gone, 7 and 15. So yeah, 15 and 5, 16 and 5 since then.
Yeah.
So got my head back in front for the week, got back above water. And still looking to see what happens on the tonight's slate of games. Will's been doing all right again. I noticed Will Moorman was hanging around the 60% mark, which is quite low for him. He'd be disappointed with that. His percentage normally starts with a 7. Yeah. How have you been going, Moonaf?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I think I kind of got my head back above water, but today I took one on the cheek here. My picks today, I think, are only 2 and 5, 2 and 6 on the day. So that kind of dropped my percentage down to 41%. But like you, I'm going to need some of your luck and hopefully I can turn around here for the rest of the weekend and get my head back above water. But still trending at 53%. You know, all of us again are at that for the season at 52 and better. So, I'm going to have to either shake your hand virtually and Will's hand virtually so I can get some of that luck for my picks going into the weekend here.
Yeah, so there's some bits and bobs of things happened around the league this week. It was a bit busier week than what we had to talk about on Sunday. The Mets got DeGrom back, which was important. This is, I think, maybe the third time he's come. They've put him on the IL. Oh, sorry, they made him miss a turn and said he wouldn't have to go on the IL. Then they brought him back. Then he had to miss a little bit more time. Then eventually he did land on the IL. But he came back this week. Got no run support as per usual. But light and shade for the Mets that Noah Syndergaard was back from Tommy John surgery. Had been doing okay in his rehab down at Singley. I think he'd been pitching. But was pulled out of a game on Tuesday evening, I think it was, and has since been shut down from throwing for at least 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That division is very tight at the minute. It's a little bit scruffy. And we mentioned when talking about the Mets that if you wanted to back the Mets at minus odds, you're not backing the Mets that are rolling out every night now because they're virtually unrecognisable as an MLB team. You're back in the Mets, it would be rolling out in July and August. But with Syndergaard being shut down, that knocks a little hole in that second half of the season for the Mets, Moonaf.
Yeah, that's tough. And I know I saw the news actually come across my screen today for some reason for the Syndergaard news. And they're shutting him down for 6 weeks, but it's not, they said there's no new damage. So I'm not sure if it's like they're just being extra cautious or, you know, there's soreness or something that he's dealing with during his rehab or, you know, when he was throwing it down there in single A. But it's concerning, but it's not concerning, right? Because you want to get, you know, a pitcher like him back into your rotation. Luckily, we got DeGrom back this week and, you know, his 10-day IL stink wasn't too serious or nothing more came out of that for Jacob DeGrom. Hopefully we get Syndergaard back maybe in 2 or 3 months here and maybe he's there for a stretch run for the Mets when they really need him. Because like we talked about last week with the NL East, you know, I think this division again is going to come down to that final month. Nationals, you know, update for that division since we talked about it on Sunday. Nationals are still the last place team in that league, only 3.5 games out. So New York is still chugging along. They have a 2.5 game lead there, but you know, we know that can vanish over the weekend, you know, if they get on a bad streak and one of these other teams get hot. So you know, definitely something to keep an eye on for that division. I'm trying to monitor that division at least every day and watching some of these NL East games pan out.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on Miami actually again because we kind of fancied them or mentioned they were value at 30-1 and then 16-1 over the last couple of weeks, and they've kept their head above water against the Phillies in the last couple of games. Phillies got past them 3-2 tonight in a close one. But I'm still watching the Phillies relatively close. The Marlins relatively closely there. There's been quite a lot of injury stuff this week. Zach Plesac, you would laugh if he wasn't on my fantasy team, because the first thing he did, I saw the little red suitcase, which turns up when a player's been injured. So I click on the little red suitcase to see just what horrific injury he suffered. And it tells me that he's dislocated his thumb, aggressively ripping off his shirt. It's not even, don't laugh, Moon. I was furious. So he got pulled from the game. He was pitching really well on, might have been Sunday or Monday night. All of a sudden, he just lost it in the middle of the fourth inning, I think it was. Gave up 3 or 4 runs. And then he's obviously had a bit of a paddy back in the locker room or the dugout, and aggressively ripping off his shirt. We talked last about Huascar Ulloa punching the bench, and he's done himself in for a few weeks, if not months. And Plesac's done the same. So I was not impressed with any of that. But that's going to hurt the Indians as well, because they're kind of on it. They were treading a very fine line. They needed a lot of things to go right for them to stay competitive, and something like that isn't going to help them at all. Cody Bellinger, big player for the LA Dodgers, is slated to return on Saturday.
Yep.
Corey Kluber shut down for 4 weeks. We talked about the Yankees. We talked about their pitching, whether or not it would hold up. Mm-hmm. And Kluber was one of those really important. They had a few important players who were going to tip the balance for them one way or the other. Who could really make or break their season. Because, you know, the top end's going to be good. The bottom end shouldn't really be that important if the middle guys could do them a job. If Corey Kluber could go from average to a little bit better than average. And they were just clicking doing that. We've seen that they'd thrown however many quality starts in a row. Was it maybe 6 or 7? They've done really well. And then all of a sudden, Kluber going down for 4 weeks just knocks the Yankees a little bit.
Yeah, and we talked about Kluber being that middle-of-the-row pitcher in that rotation, being that solid third guy. But he turned it around this season after, you know, a slow start. But he all of a sudden became one of the best pitchers, like a number two guy or even the number one guy in this rotation. And I think he used up all his juice when he went out and threw that no-hitter, so they shut him down for 4 weeks with the injury. But, again, last week I think we kind of cursed ourselves because over the weekend we said there wasn't any major news as far as guys coming back from injury or guys getting injured, and now we have a plethora of injuries. So
the list we're looking at goes on and on. You had Marcelo Ozuna for 6 weeks, dislocated his ring finger. Bryce Harper, I don't know what the Phillies were doing mucking about with him. He was clearly injured. And they said he would have to miss a day, then maybe 2 days. And we were just all waiting for the announcement that he was going on the aisle. And sure enough, Harper's gone.
Yeah.
There was two or three peripheral stories around the MLB this week. Just the kind of stuff that baseball does enjoy, or MLB in particular, does enjoy shooting itself in the foot and trying to make itself look ridiculous in what is a competitive market when it's got the NBA and the NFL and stuff to contend with. This isn't really a particularly funny story, but it was Mickey Callaway and the Angels, who's been suspended for ages and ages and ages, having done all manner of inappropriate things. But the investigations just took forever. But what made me laugh was that everyone in the organisation calls him Dick Pick Mick. So at that point, if that's your nickname, Moonaf, then I don't know how much further the investigation had to go. I was like, right, okay, what's he supposed to do? This. What's his nickname? Dick Pick Mick. I mean, the clues are there. So that made me laugh. So eventually, they sacked him, and he's been blackballed from baseball for however long. And then there was the odd incident Tuesday night with Giovanni Gallegos of the Cards. And Joe West, who became the most decorated, maybe the right word. He's umped the most games in the majors, 5,000 and something.
Yep.
Broke some record from 1920 or something like that. Now, I just kind of know him as a figure of fun. He's not someone I know an awful lot about, other than that he's kind of known for doing daft stuff. And he went and stole Gallegos's cap, claiming it was covered in sticky stuff. And there was some general shenanigans after that, because the MLB have said they're going to crack down on this.
Yeah.
And they were going to confiscate balls and send them off to a lab and all this malarkey. So did you see that? What did you make of that?
I did. I was watching that game. I think that was the one with John Gant started. And
Of course it was, yes.
Yeah, so I think he came in for like either the seventh inning. And I tuned into it and it looked, yeah, I tuned in right when like he was asking for his hat to be replaced. And then Joe West took his hat and I think he gave it to the ball boy of the White Sox. And he's like, go do what you need to do with going to go give it to the proper authorities. And the funny part is that he still went out and pitched a stellar inning for the Cardinals. And I think he got two out of the three outs were strikeouts anyway. So it wasn't like he needed the sticky stuff or whatever.
Said that his spin rate was down 30 RPM. Well, I don't know if that's a lot or not a lot. I don't know. 30 RPM is a percentage of what? I don't know. But no one appears to be really bothered about this sticky stuff. The players certainly don't care. If anything, the kind of the bats say it gives the pitcher a little bit more control, so they're not getting beamed by balls flying at their head at 100 mile an hour. The player seems to be the ones that are bothered the least by all of this. So I don't know why MLB seem so intent on that. But the way Joe West goes about it is just particularly funny. Like I quite enjoy his mannerisms. Although I imagine if I had a dog in the fight and he was umpiring the game, then I can imagine he would get on my nerves a little. But that made me laugh this week. What I really wanted to break down betting-wise this week, Moonaf, and I haven't been able to find any odds, but watch this space. We're all going to get stuck into this. And I don't know how much this would have come on your radar or any of your countrymen's radars. Is the Olympic baseball squad. Mm-hmm. Did you get any of this? I mean, was this big news or would this completely and utterly go under the radar?
You know what? Especially here in the States, like it's flying under the radar because we have so many sports and playoff series going on right now that it's just kind of flying under the radar. And I honestly didn't even know about it until like you put it on our show notes, you know, between baseball going on and NBA and hockey playoffs. And, you know, we're ramping up for the football season. It just kind of flew under the radar. So, I mean, I don't have much for it. I know it was a discussion topic that you wanted to.
It was another one of these sort of unusual things. I think the rules were that the players couldn't be on a 40-man MLB roster.
Okay.
So what you've ended up with is this. There's a bit of it's kind of a donut of a roster. You've got a lot of old guys at the top. Mm-hmm. And then there's nothing in the middle because everyone's playing MLB in the middle. And then a load of young guys at the bottom. But there's some names on here. He has a name for you. Jarren Duren. He's one of your boys, isn't he?
Yep.
The Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got people like Matt Kemp. Who was... There's a lot of wows in here, you know. This is what appealed to me about it. John Jay is in there. Matt Wieters, old catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Frazier is in there.
Is he on the roster this season? I thought he was.
No, I've seen him in a Rangers shirt early in the year.
Probably got released.
Yeah, released by the Rangers. Hmm. He's got a free agent. And then there's people who've pitched fairly recently. Logan Forsyth. There's a genuine prospect. What's his name? Really good. Oh, Matthew Liberatore, who's one of the top cards prospects. David Robertson, relief pitcher. Remember him? Was he at the Yankees and the Phillies,
Yankees,
maybe?
Yankees, White Sox, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just it's just a really funny list of names to go down. If I gave you the list of names without any other information and said, what have these people in common? I don't know how many guesses you'd have to have before you said, is that the Olympic baseball squad?
Yeah.
Because it was just an odd thing. But I then went down a rabbit hole of looking at the Olympic baseball squad. And it's been a few weeks since I gave you some trivia, Moonaf.
Sure.
So the Olympic baseball tournament is an 8-team tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And there are already, I think, 6 teams qualified.
Okay.
So I want you to give me as many of those qualified teams. I mean, I reckon you can make an educated guess. I'm going to set the line at 4.5 here. So you've got 30 seconds. Give me 4.5 of these qualified teams for the Olympic baseball.
Qualified for the Olympics this coming summer or next? When is it?
This one? Yeah, now.
Okay,
soon,
so...
couple of months.
I think Cuba should already be qualified, no?
Nope.
Man. Oh, golly. Mexico?
Mexico have qualified. They were the best team from the Americas, apparently.
Okay. I don't think Canada would be one. Oh, God. Japan?
Yes, Japan qualify as hosts.
South Korea or
Canada
Korean?
Were eliminated in the group stage. Cuba were eliminated in the group stage.
Canada,
Moonaf, you're not
or
far
Cuba
away.
Was eliminated.
Yeah. I mean, it's they only play 3 games, so Cuba won 1 and lost 2, and that's enough. Like, it's not, you don't get much to have a run at. You went for South Korea. Yes, have very much qualified.
Okay. Man, God, who else would there be? Korea, you said Korea. You said 6 have already qualified. Sorry, you said 3. God, I don't even know. Canada, you said, got knocked out. Mexico, Japan, Korea, Cuba, you said, knocked out. I have no idea what the other might be. Netherlands, maybe?
Netherlands. They finished 2nd in qualifying. And this is the odd one. I don't know how many guesses you would have had to have before you said Israel.
You know what? That was kind of pondering in my mind. But
was it really?
I didn't want to look like an idiot saying Israel for baseball.
Moonaf, you could have won the speedboat if you'd said Israel.
It's okay.
You've been unlucky. Thank you for... I love international tournaments, because obviously football is it's the Euros this year. We have Euro, what should have been Euro 2020, but Euros and a World Cup, because you just never see in that the sort of thing where you might see Cameroon versus North Korea, the sort of thing where these two countries would never ever sort of be matched up or faced up. And the Olympics is great for that. I've actually been watching some ice hockey this week. The World Championships is on in Latvia. And Great Britain, who were traditionally terrible, have been doing all right this week. Me and my boy watched, they beat Belarus last night. Belarus had a load of players who'd played in NHL and in the Russian League and the Swedish League and stuff. And Britain didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat Belarus 4-3 last night. So I've been quite enjoying that. But I love this kind of mad international stuff. So yeah, like Israel versus South Korea in Olympic baseball is something for me to look forward to. One more thing I was going to mention before we crack on with this week's discussion topic is the young lad who's pitched for Toronto tonight. I alluded to him in the introduction. Alek Manoah, one of their top prospects. Just if you're a fantasy player, he's a must add in all formats, whether it's points, road, or if you've got fab to spend this weekend, if there's going to be a fab run, you might be worth spending sort of even maybe a quarter of your budget. He's pitched tonight.
Yeah.
He's against the Yankees, the first half of a doubleheader.
Mm.
Toronto won the game 2-0. Won the game with a box score of 2 hits allowed, 6 innings pitched, 2 hits allowed, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. He actually beat Domingo Germán, who didn't do an awful lot wrong. Germán only gave up 3 hits. in 5.2 innings. Fortunately, two of them went for home runs. And and Toronto won that game 2-0. So it was just a name to watch. Alek Manoah. He'd be, I think, staying in that Toronto rotation. I don't see a reason why they'd be taking him out. He was actually fairly well stretched out his last three starts in AAA. He had something like a 0.48 ERA in AAA, only over 18 innings, but those 18 innings were three starts of six innings each. So he was going deep into games in AAA, and he stepped up straight away tonight. And I don't see a reason why that won't continue. So if you are a fantasy player, he might kind of go under the radar, although tonight's start might have brought him to some people's attention. Yep. But if you are able to sneak in and swoop for him, then he might be a man to add for you. In all formats of that game. Okay, moving off. We are going to talk tonight a little bit about, this was my suggestion. We've had a look at a lot of divisions and player props and stuff. And this market, for me, was still relatively wide open. It's 3-1 the field. So you've got a 3-1 favourite. So everyone in the market is at a backable price, and it's the American League. Mm. So I'll let you start us off. When I said American League to you, in fact, I'll run down the odds first of the main contenders before we pick them out. It's the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. who are the favorites at 3-1. Chicago White Sox at +425, the Rays +650, the A's +800, the Astros +850. I was surprised the A's and the Astros were that way around. Yep. The Blue Jays +950, and the Red Sox were +1,000. It was kind of 16-1 bar down to Cleveland, people like that. And then there's quite a few bums in there. Seattle, Baltimore, teams like that, around about 250-1. But those were all the single figure prices in there, down to Boston at 9-1. So what were your early thoughts on that, Boone? Was there a real standout bet for you?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, I don't think I want any part of the Yankees right now, even though they had been pitching well. But I think another injury that we didn't mention for them was that they lost Aaron Hicks indefinitely and probably for the season. So they lost an outfielder there. And then obviously we talked about Corey Kluber. So I don't want, not that I'm a Yankees hater or anything, but I think that +400 is just, it's not enough value for me. White Sox make a lot of sense at +425 because of how they're doing on both sides of the baseball, on pitching and batting. I hate to say it, but I think, and I'm going to be a homer here, but I think the Astros at +850.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Boston then.
We can get to Boston a little bit, but I have some concerns about the Boston Red Sox, even though they're my favorite team, and I obviously want them to win, but I have some concerns there. But, I've been harping, we've been talking about a lot, that AL West division a lot this season, right? And I think for the Astros, even right now, to be at +850 and maybe at some other books, you can find it at a better price at maybe 9-1 or maybe even some 10-1s there. Their batting has just been incredible this season so far. They're ranked amongst the tops in almost all the statistical categories in the entire MLB. And I think there was, some metrics that I wanted to kind of run by you for this Astros team, and especially against left-handed pitching in the American League, since we're talking about American League teams. So obviously the against left-handed pitching in particular. So we talked about, how the White Sox do really well against left-handed pitching. They had some ridiculous record that were there like 23-24-1 against left-handed pitching. But wow. Yeah, I pulled up the stats for the Astros. So I just kind of want to run this by you. So the number two team against left-handed pitching, and this is runs scored, was the Baltimore Orioles, who have scored 86 runs. The Boston Red Sox have scored 82 runs. And then the number four team is the Oakland A's, who have scored 80 runs. So, and obviously the Houston Astros are number one. How many runs do you think they have scored this season against left-handed pitching based on those three teams that I just mentioned, who are 2, 3, and 4? So 86, 82, and 80 are the 2-4 teams, and Houston Astros are number one. So how many runs do you think they've scored?
Wow. You put me on the spot here. It's got to be about run 40%. 60. 108.
125.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was, you know, when I was selecting or looking at some of the picks for this weekend, and I came across that, and it was just amazing for me to see. And against right-handed pitching, you would think a right-handed batted team would be better. But when you take a look at the hits that they have against left-handed pitching, Baltimore is number two at 146. The Houston Astros are 211 hits against left-handed pitching. So they're absolutely just crushing it. 284 batting average against left-handed pitching. But we take a look at their lineup, and we talk about this team pretty much all season long, and we've talked about them a lot on our podcast, is their batting averages among their top guys is incredible. And I'm just going to run this down here real quick. So they have five guys that are batting above 300. Alex Bregman, Yuli Gurriel, Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, who just went on the DL again, or sorry, the IL for 10 days, and then Michael Brantley, all above 300. Now, I know the conversations are going to start if they're using the buzzer and all of that and banging on trash cans again, but I think that this is something that we can't look past, and I think this team has, we know they have that chip on their shoulder to kind of go out and prove that, you know, they've been deemed as the bad guys in baseball, and rightfully so, right? Because they did get caught cheating, and players have come out and said, or former players have come out and said, that every team does it. It was just that the Astros got made an example.
I can't remember. There was a player in the news this week, Moonaf, who's being interviewed and pretty much spilled the beans on everybody. So
yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of teams who just really need to be quiet now, because if they keep on pushing it, then they're just going to be as exposed as Houston were.
Yeah. And then, you know, just the one concern for me, at least for the Astros, is obviously the pitching. You know, Zach Greinke, for some reason, does really well on the road this season. I think he has an ERA that's under 2 on the road, and he's just getting hammered at home. But then we got news this week for the Astros that Framer Valdez is supposed to be coming back this week. I believe he's either starting tomorrow or Thursday.
Slated to pitch, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then Jose Urquidy also got I think he threw a game down there in the minors for him to kind of come back up. Obviously, the big thing is that they're waiting for Justin Verlander. Who knows if he's going to pitch again this season, but that probably won't be till September or even October if they make it to the playoffs. So I think for me, the Astros at around plus 850, close to 9-1. I think that makes a whole lot of sense for me to back a team to win this AL pennant.
Yeah, I agree with you, Moonaf. Backing a few things up that you've just mentioned, they do have the best batting average in that league, 268.
Yeah.
Boston nearest at 260, the White Sox 254. Then it kind of drops off a cliff a little bit. There's a lot of 230s and stuff around there. But you mentioned the pitching being of a slight concern. Now they're ranked 10th in pitching WAR, but their ERA of 3.86 really deserves to be a lot higher. That says to me they've been a little bit unlucky. The Yankees and the White Sox have got a great ERA of 3.2. But Boston is sitting in third at 3.94. So they've got a worse ERA as a team than Houston. Yeah. They're sitting in third in that table, and Houston is sitting in 10th. Yeah. So there's been a few things where they've been a little bit unlucky. So I think that suggests to me that there's a little bit of improvement as well. The Yankees are really a hard team. They're a real head-scratching team. They say that 3-1 at the minute doesn't hugely appeal to me. I was listening as I drove home from work about an hour ago, and I had the radio call of the Yankees, that Yankees Blue Jays game that we just spoke about with young Alec Manoah pitching well. And I don't know her name, but the lady who does the announcing for the Yankees on their radio call mentioned the RBI stats, and she blindsided the co-commentator, just like you did with me on in the left-handed batting stats there. And it was the RBI figure. And it was in the division. So Boston have hit 239 RBIs, Tampa Bay 238 RBIs. And then New York were all the way down at 175. That's a huge disparity. I mean, that what, 63 and 64 RBIs. That's 25% fewer. That's not just a few. So they're sitting down in 10th, a batting average of 231. We just talked about Houston being up there, 268. And the other thing with New York is the defensive war is minus 5.4. Now, that's bad. They're bumming around with the likes of the teams who are below them, Seattle and Kansas and Detroit. There's on all sides of the ball, like you mentioned, how well the Chicago White Sox are doing. I think by the same token, there's just enough red flags to put you off that 400 price on the Yankees. I agree with you on the White Sox. I thought the injuries were going to catch up with them. I thought their chance might have been gone at the start of the season when Eloy hurt himself and then Lewis Robert hurt himself. But I think they might be a little bit better than I gave them credit for and might run a little bit deeper than I gave them credit for. Yeah. They are sitting top of those batting standings with a war of 10.2. Good batting average, good walk rate. They've got the second best walk rate, 10.5%. They're not striking out particularly highly. And then pitching... the White Sox and the Yankees are the two teams who have really got some separation at the top of that chart. You've been quite sweet on the pitch, and we've spoke about it already on the show. Yeah. Rodon, Giolito, Keuchel. They've got a little bit of separation at the top of there. So I was happy with that. What about the middling teams then? Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Toronto. I mean, they're all single-figure prices and they all do some good things well, but I think they'll need to put it all together for me to want to back one of those three teams, Moona.
Yeah, and we talked about the Rays, you know, quite a bit, and they're always a team that are just always hanging around there. They're always a team that's going to make the playoffs, you know, whether it's by division or most likely it's always in the wild card for them, so they always find a way. I think the surprising thing for the Rays this season has been their batting, which has not been so great over the last couple of years. It's really been their pitching that's kind of carrying them. But this season, their batting has really stepped up for them. And, you know, if we kind of just kind of look at the metrics for the Tampa Bay Rays, they're tied with the Red Sox in the American League for runs scored at 259. The batting average is a little bit down. They're at number 10 at 232. But if we talk about how many hits they have, they're at number 4 in the American League. But I think the one thing that really stuck out to me when I was looking at the Rays was how well they do with hitters in scoring position, especially with two outs. They're middle of the pack at 6, but you know they really do a great job of driving in runs with guys in scoring position. The Red Sox and the Astros are number one hits in that category. But in far as runs scored, Tampa Bay right up there with the White Sox, the White Sox, the Red Sox, and the Astros. So, you know, that's interesting to see how well Kevin Cash has really got their batters going. And it's kind of been led by their rookie sensation, or, you know, Randy Arozarena and some of those other guys in that lineup. So, you know, Tampa Bay is never always the big sexy pick that people want to pick, whether it's between the Red Sox or the Yankees. So I think that's a team that kind of, you know, is in a small market that you always want to keep an eye out for, because they always, always find a way to make it into the playoffs. And we saw last season, they made it into the World Series against the Dodgers. and just fell short. But, you know, they're a gritty team. And I think, you know, I'm not sure those odds are good enough for me to bet on them at that price. If it was anything from 10 to 1 or higher, I probably would have pulled the plug. But for me to see them at plus 650, it's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, the other thing they've been doing is running. They've been stealing a lot of bases. Again, that's something that you kind of have to do, is to manufacture runs. And the difference, they've stolen 28 bases. If you compare that to the New York Yankees at 11. Now, we just talked about the lack of RBIs for the New York Yankees. That's kind of telling you that if they're hitting a home run, New York, that it's a solo shot. Yeah. Because they haven't got the people on base with that low batting average. And then they're not advancing the runners. So that's something that Tampa Bay have done really well. So it's something the rest of the league you kind of associate with the poorer teams. Kansas City lead in 36 with Whit Merrifield or what really would have been Mondesi. That would have been way up there had he not been injured. And maybe you don't associate as much with the top teams, although the Padres are running absolutely all over everybody. This season. But that's something that Tampa do as well. They're just kind of all round do absolutely everything. And you're right, the pitching's been absolutely excellent. Team ERA of 3.52, which is third behind those two. We just said that the Yankees and the White Sox had created some separation there. But Tampa Bay are really on their road in third. They've got there in their own tier in third. The things then drop off to kind of 3.7s and 3.8s, where it brings in all these middling teams. Oakland and Cleveland and Houston and Toronto. So yeah, Tampa Bay, they do sort of live in their own tier, where they're not particularly fashionable. They're not going to be the people's choice like the Yankees and the White Sox, but they are better than the teams that I would say immediately below them. Maybe with the exception of the Astros, again, I feel like we've laboured the point a little bit on the Astros over the last month, because every market, whether it was the division or the Astros tend to jump out a little bit for us. And finally, Munaf, on your, I'll give you last word on this, on your Red Sox plus 1,000. What, if anything, what would put you off Boston?
Yeah, I mean, we know that they're a great offensive team. We already talked about the offensive numbers for the American League, and Red Sox are either the best or up there, tied with the Astros as being the best, whether it's in batting average, runs scored, hits, and all those good categories. But, you know, the concern for the Red Sox is the pitching, right? Because I don't think there's still a true number one ace on this team like some of these other teams have. You know, we talk about the White Sox, who have, I think, two to three options on who can be that number one guy, at least for this season, with Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn. And, you know, coming into the season, Lucas Giolito was supposed to be that guy for them. And he had a rough month of April for the White Sox, but Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon have really stepped up in that role as a true ace. So, you know, as far as the Red Sox, they don't have that number one guy, which is kind of concerning. They are supposed to get back Chris Sale relatively sooner rather than later. I did see news that he did pitch some bullpen sessions. So it's just a matter of time before they get him down to the minors to get some games in there to get some pitching. But, you know, we've talked about how Eduardo Rodriguez was probably supposed to be that guy for them, as probably the number two guy or the ace this season for them, but he really hasn't been. He's had two rough starts in a row. You know, Alex Cora came out and said they're not really concerned about him. He does have a 5.06 ERA, which is a little concerning. You know, Nathan Eovaldi, another guy that we were kind of high on coming into the season for this Red Sox team, he's been okay. You know, Garrett Richards has been a pleasant surprise. And then you have Martin Perez. So, you know, it's a lot of guys in this rotation that are, you know, three or four guys in the rotation. But again, that true ace is not probably going to come for the Red Sox until they get Chris Sale back. And I expect this team that if they are in contention come to trade deadline, for them to be, you know, buyers for a top end arm in that starting rotation with some of these teams that might be sellers. So I think until the Red Sox are going to shore up that that pitching rotation, I'm not buying them yet. But if it was close to maybe like the 12-1 or 13 or 15-1, I would definitely put some dollars down on that, because they're still in the fight for that American League East, you know? So I think last night is a prime example that they went up. They had to put up enough runs to win that game, even though they gave up 5 runs. So, you know, for this Red Sox team, at least for right now, it's going to be that they're going to have to put up, you know, 5, 6, 7 runs a night for them to win ball games until they, you know, figure out what the pitching rotation is going to be for them.
Yeah, I think it's a fair price. Might be the sort of price you take in maybe if you were a Red Sox fan, because yeah, what they've done is they've put themselves in contention.
For sure.
And their prices on all the markets are probably around about a half of what they were to start with. And I don't think you can underestimate the effect that the manager's had coming back in. Obviously knows, yeah, knows the club, knows the clubhouse and what have you. Yeah. And it's just got them ticking back over kind of the way they used to be. So they've put themselves in contention. And yeah, and it doesn't take a huge leap of faith. And what is it? It's a wide open market. I mean, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams there, all ranked from sort of 3-1 to 10-1. And it's not going to take much to move the needle on any of those teams, moving off, I don't think.
Yeah, 100%. And if I did have to pick, if you had a gun to my head right now, who I would think would go to the World Series if the season ended today, it would probably be the Chicago White Sox. I'll agree with you on that, because both sides of the ball, like we said, they are absolutely phenomenal, even with their two injuries, big injuries that they had to their lineup with Eloy and Lewis Roberts. They found other guys to step up in that role, and I just can't get away from how well this pitching rotation, especially their starters, have been. You know, guys that have ERAs, I think two other guys are ERAs of under 2. We know Lucas Giolito is going to get back to his form as a Cy Young guy. So I'm excited for that rotation for that Chicago White Sox team. But, the one concern is that are the players just going to worry about winning, or is Tony La Russa going to find a way to shit the bed and then to just turn this team against him? I don't know. But for me right now, it probably has to be the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, La Russa stayed out of the news this week, which has got to be positive. I agree with you. The what I'd put up there is that plus 425.
Yeah,
on the White Sox. That is the selection for both me and Moonoff at present for the National League. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favourite teams, players and sports games. Generous promos, odds and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 in risk-free sports bets. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. You want some 425? About those Chicago White Sox, get over to WynnBET, get your 500 bonus, and maybe top it up with the Boston Red Sox at 10-1. We've got all angles covered. Tell you what though, Moonaf, I've had a busy day today, worked 3 jobs, got home from a busy evening dealing blackjack to the good people of County Durham tonight. Got home, needed a moment to chill before I got into the podcast with you. Needed to hit the reset button for what was next. So when you need a moment to turn off and hit reset, that's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer's cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and as always, celebrate responsibly. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props for MLB, the NBA, and more. They also have a special NBA Playoffs Best Ball tournament coming up as well. Go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN. Don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. So, Moonaf, moving on to the weekend series. It's currently Thursday night as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. So we normally have a look for Friday to Sunday when we'll unpack what's happened over the weekend. What's caught your eye series-wise, pitching matchups, any stories that's happening over the weekend that we need to know about?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this every weekend or, you know, when we're previewing the new week and, you know, series that kind of stand out to us. And as baseball fans, what to kind of keep an eye on. You know, there's a couple in there that, you know, obviously we talked about the NL East last week. You have the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets going off this weekend. I think that'll be an intriguing series. I think the other one I saw was, the Padres and the Astros going off this weekend. That'll be fun to watch. You know, one of the best teams from each league there squaring off there in Houston.
Did the Astros split that series with the Dodgers this week? That was the 2-2.
Two games. I think, Kershaw won the first game, and then I think they came back and beat Trevor Bauer in that game too. I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Altuve homered in that game. Correa homered in that game. So I actually picked the Dodgers to win both of those games.
They beat them 5-2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you did. Yeah. You got it the wrong way around.
Yeah. So that was good to see for the Astros. At least split them there. And then I think the other series for me is going to again be that San Francisco Giants and the LA Dodgers. You know, NL West division rivals. You know, San Francisco is still battling in that NL West division. So those are the three that kind of stuck out to me for this coming weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Braves and the Mets is an old one because this is a good chance really for the Braves to take advantage of the problems that the Mets have. It's in terms of that division, we dwelt on it last week, and the Mets are still the only team over 500. They've won a doubleheader against Colorado tonight, which helps. Colorado are a poor team, and the Mets have managed to win two relatively low scoring seven inning games tonight, which has put them up to a percentage of 545. Philadelphia and Atlanta chasing them at 490. So the Mets have just got a little bit of breathing space, and they need it because it's going to be a slog for them in the next couple of weeks, particularly maybe 2 or 3 weeks till they get a few more players back. So Atlanta, I think, would fancy their chances of getting back, of getting at the Mets. They really need to get at the Mets and close that gap and squeeze them a little bit, put a bit of pressure on. The Angels v. the A's. I've watched a couple of A's games this week, and I've been, again, a bit like Tampa Bay. They seem to be more than the sum of their parts. They come together quite well. And the Angels, apart from, as we've said, having one or two fun players, their pitching's just absolutely horrible. I was one hit away. Griffin Cannon cost me last night. I parlayed Oakland over Seattle in the race to 4 runs.
Yeah.
And Oakland had that nailed down. And I parlayed that with Griffin Cannon to let up over 4.5 hits. And they pulled him out of the game on 4 hits. So I missed. I was around about 3-1, I think the double was. So I was a little bit disappointed with that. But the Angels are still struggling. And I've been slightly, there's a couple of teams that I feel I've been a little bit dismissive of, and are maybe they're a little bit better. The Cubs are one. The Cubs are winning more games and playing better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
And I think in the Oakland A's, I think are another one. That Padres Astros one, it's a good point for the Astros because these are the series that they're going to have to be competitive in. We've talked them up a lot to win the division, to win the league. We've talked about the World Series and stuff like that. Tonight, plus 850 to win the American League. But these are the series where they're going to have to be competitive against the teams that are around them rather than a lot of the poorer teams. Picks wise then, Moonaf, we are going to make some picks. That's what we're here for. Who's going first this week? What was the situation last week? Because really, I could do with keeping it the same I went 2-for-2.
Yeah, I think I've been leading off, so you want to keep it the same way?
Yeah, I think we should. I don't want to jinx anything.
All right. So, both of my picks are going to go tomorrow night. The first one, I'm going to go with the total. As a lock, it's going to be between the Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox. It will probably come out around 9, maybe 9.5. But it's going to be Matt Harvey versus Dallas Keuchel. We know the story of Matt Harvey. You know, he's been really bad on the road this season. He got off to a decent start, and we had talked about this early in the podcast. That was the guy that we wanted to start fading, and we said to wait. And now I think it's the time to get on that horse and start fading him home. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, he's been bad on the road this season. He has a 7.03 ERA, 5.4 ERA at night. So, for some reason, he does better during the day. You know, in Harvey's starts this season, they're averaging close to 10.33 runs per game. And then you take a look at Dallas Keuchel, left-handed hurler for the Chicago White Sox. He has a 5.16 ERA at home, a 5.35 ERA. And then we talked about earlier when we were talking about left-handed hitting. Baltimore caught my eye, and they are currently in the American League number two in runs scored and hits against left-handed pitchers. And they're number two in runs scored, and they're number four in hits and number two in batting average. So for my lock, I will take the Baltimore Orioles versus the Chicago White Sox over tomorrow night. And then my dog, I'm not sure if this will be a dog, but I think it'll probably be close to a pick'em or a -110 each way. But this is going to be my last time I try to back a Nationals pitcher. I know I took Joe Ross twice, I think I took Lester once, and I took Joe Ross twice, and I went 0-2 against both of them. So trend lightly on this one. But you know, Lester has not been good in the past two starts against his opponents, but I think this is a good bounce back spot for him being at home. Lester has pretty good numbers against the Brewers in 2020 in two starts. He pitched 12 innings, did give up 12 hits, but only gave up 5 earned runs over those 12 innings. And then 2019, he had 3 starts against them in 19 innings pitched, did allow 20 hits, but only gave up 8 earned runs in those 3 starts. And then you have Brett Anderson that's supposed to be scheduled a starter for the Brewers on Friday night against opposing John Lester, and he has a 4.91 ERA on the road this season, a 4.6 ERA at night. Washington is number two in batting average against left-handed pitching in the National League, and number five in runs scored against left-handed pitching. And then John Lester, obviously also being a left-handed pitcher, Brewers are number 12 in the National League out of 15 teams in batting average, and a number 11 in hits out of 15 teams in the National League. So I think this will be a good bounce back spot for the Nationals going up against the Brewers tomorrow night. And so that's going to be the over in the Orioles and White Sox game as my lock. And then it should be probably close to even money or -110 each way for John Lester taking the mound against the Milwaukee Brewers tomorrow night.
Excellent, Moonaf. You make a watertight case for both of those. My lock is going on Saturday night, and that's going to be Zach Wheeler and the Phillies over Ryan Yarbrough and Tampa Bay. I just really think Ryan Yarbrough's been found out. I've watched quite a lot of him, and he's a bit Kyle Hendricks, like Kyle Hendricks, someone we've spoke a little bit about, more of a finesse pitcher, chucks it up there, it's sort of 88, 89 miles an hour. And Ryan Yarbrough came out of long relief. He pitched a lot of long relief in the last couple of years, or he would be he would follow an opener. He would take maybe the bulk of the innings, go twice through the order to follow an opener in Tampa. But I think as he's transitioned into a starter, he went okay early on. But I think he's been found out. He's 2-3 this season with a 4.27 ERA, which isn't huge. But he gave up 3 home runs in his last outing last week. And luckily for him, there were 3 solo shots. So it wasn't a total disaster. But I think the Phillies can get to him. And if they can get to him with a few more ducks on the pond, they can put a few runs on the board. And Zach Wheeler for the Phillies, he's been outstanding, dominated the Red Sox last week, 7 1/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, only allowed 1 run on 3 hits and a walk. So I'm happy to take Zach Wheeler against Ryan Yarbrough on Saturday night for my lock. And my dog, I'm going to go on Friday night. We're going to have a busy night Friday, Moon. I've both your picks going. And I'm going to take my dog. Now, you might scratch your head a little bit this one. I'm going to take the Detroit Tigers against Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees. you wouldn't be the only one making that noise right at this moment, I don't think. I've done this a little bit before. I remember I got DeGrom beat earlier in the season by somebody at 2-1. Casey Mize has done all right. He 3.42 ERA, which isn't bad. He's 3-3. But in his last 4 starts, he's had 4 starts this month. And the opponents are only hitting 141 against him, 20 strikeouts. Now, the other thing that turned me on to this was looking at the woes of the Yankees hitters, because we were talking about that in relation to our divisional betting. So I think those two things coupled together, the fact he's limiting up to 141 and the Yankees are struggling a little bit to put the ball in play, I think gives Mize a live chance. It is going to be a fancy price. You might get plus 200. You might get a little bit bigger even. Yeah. But I think Gerrit Cole 6-2, he's beatable. So I think he got turned over last time out by, can't remember who it was. It was a game that we talked about here. But yeah, he got turned over by somebody last time out. He is rocking a 1.81 ERA with 92 strikeouts, so nothing wrong with that. But if the Tigers can hang with them, and they can be a little bit feisty. So yeah, I'm going out on a limb tonight, and I'm going to take Casey Mize and the Detroit Tigers as my dog to follow up Zach Wheeler and Ryan Yarbrough as my lock on Saturday night. And that, Moonaf, I believe, brings us to the end of the podcast. As always, our Tallyside picks are up on tallyside.com. They are embedded on the Sports Gambling podcast website. The DraftKings League is still going strong every night. If you want to get in the Slack channel, hit us up on Twitter, myself or Moonaf. You can find us on Spotify and iTunes and all sorts of places. And if you want to come along and have a run out in the DraftKings Nightly League, it's only $2, and there's quite a bit of smack talk. The Slack channel is a great place. The Slack channel has hit all manner of degen depth this week with the virtual horse that's been running the Sean and Ryan are the proud owners of a cartoon horse, which was, I think there was quite a lot of enthusiasm early in the week when it won a race or two, and it's currently running itself directly to the glue factory, I think, over the last few nights. But, you know, they're in it for the long haul. So the Slack channel's been a very vibrant place this week. So if you are ever interested in a lot of smack talk and some fun gambling chat, the Slack channel is absolutely the place for you. Moonaf, is there anything else we need to tell the people about?
No, this is funny when you're talking about the horse. It's funny how excited we get watching every race. And I think they're doing like 4 to 5 races for that horse, like every single day. There's at least like 3 a night. And we all get excited for it. And then like at the end, like he kind of poo-poos out and he ends up like in 11th or 12th place. But, you know, it's going to take a little bit for us to, for Sean and Ryan to get their horse, you know.
I mean, I was sitting in bed the other night. It was 12:41 a.m. And I was dying to go to sleep, but I couldn't go to sleep till I'd watched the cartoon horse. And It's the moments like that when I was pondering a lot of my life choices, thinking, what have I doing? This is perfectly normal. I'm sitting on YouTube, in a YouTube chat, watching this cartoon horse race before I could get to sleep. And then the first thing I do, wake up in the morning, is open my laptop and get on this Slack channel to see the 47 messages and try to establish how many other times during the night it's run and has it actually beat any other cartoon horses home. So,
yeah,
that's been great entertainment this week.
Yeah, I know the Slack channel is always fun. There's so many different channels, whatever sports you're interested in, whether it's MLB, NHL, MMA fighting, NASCAR, NBA is going in there. And then we all obviously have the college basketball. We have every single sport that you might be interested in. There's also a hidden gem channel that maybe a lot don't know about. It's a food channel where we just talk about barbecuing and
there's a lot of ribs in that channel.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. But definitely join the Slack channels, sg.pn/slack. And like Malcolm mentioned, check out the website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We have all sorts of podcasts on there, NBA, MMA, golf. The guys are killing it on every single podcast. So, and then check out all the content we have going up on the website. So, you know, it's a great time to be part of the SGPN community. And it's only on to bigger and better things for us. So you definitely want to be part of that ride.
Absolutely. Yeah. It couldn't be more fun, Moon. I've absolutely love it. Thanks, man, for joining me tonight. I look forward to speaking to you on Sunday. Hopefully we'll have some winners to discuss, etc.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a good weekend. We'll see you down the road.